Judy Carrier eyed her reflection in the shiny elevator doors, wondering when mirrors stopped being her friend. Her cropped yellow blonde hair stuck out like demented sun rays, and her pink and blue oil-lily sweater and jeans clashed with her bright red clogs. Worst of all was her expression, easy to read on a face as flat as an artist's palette with troubled blue eyes set wide over a small nose and thin lips pressed unhappily together. Judy tried to shake off her bad mood when the elevator halted and the door slid open with a ping. Rosato & D'Annunzio, LLC, read the shiny brass plaque, and she crossed the reception area, empty of clients on a Saturday morning. The office was quiet, but Judy knew she wouldn't be the only one in, because lawyers regarded weekends as a chance to work uninterrupted, which was their version of relaxing. She heard her cell phone ringing and slid it from her pocket because she'd been playing phone tag with a client, Linda Adler. She checked the screen, but it read Mom Calling with a faceless blue shadow. Judy had never bothered to put in a profile picture for her mother because the shadow seemed oddly perfect. Judy had grown up a Navy brat, but her family never developed the us-against-the-world closeness of a typical military family. The Carriers moved, skied, and hiked together, but their activities were a sort of parallel play for adults, and now they scattered all over the globe and emailed each other's photos of themselves moving, skiing, and hiking. Judy clicked ignore and returned the phone to her pocket. She rounded the corner to the hallway and brightened at the sight of her best friend, Mary D'Annunzio, who turned when she spotted Judy and came hustling down the hall toward her, grinning from ear to ear. Mary had recently made partner, becoming Judy's boss, but neither of them knew how that would play out over time. Judy avoided thinking about it, and in any event, Mary made the most adorable boss ever in her tortoiseshell glasses, navy sweater, jeans, and loafers, with her little legs churning and her light brown ponytail bouncing. "Judy, I was waiting for you. I have great news." Mary reached her, light brown eyes warm with anticipation. "Hi, cutie. Tell me." Judy entered her office and Mary followed her excitedly inside. "Actually, I have great news and even greater news. Which do you want first?" "The great news. We'll start slow." Judy slid her woven purse from her shoulder, tossed it onto the credenza, and went around to her chair. She sat down behind a desk cluttered with a laptop, case correspondence, a magic eight ball, ripped Splenda packets, and an empty can of Diet Coke. Law books, case reporters, notes, and files stuffed her bookshelves. She was going for creative clutter, but lately worried she was entering hoarder territory. "First, I have breaking wedding news." Mary leaned back against the credenza, flushed with happiness. "You remember I told you about the high-end salon, Je T'aime?"
"Yes."
Judy was going to be maid of honor at Mary's wedding, though she'd never been in a bridal party before. She was studying by watching bride shows on cable, but none of them told her that being maid of honor was like being executor of a vast and complicated estate without the fee. "They had a cancellation, so I got an appointment next Friday night. Can you come?" "Of course." Judy had already been to 2 bridal shops and seen Mary try on a zillion wedding dresses, but they all looked the same to her, like vanilla soft serve without the cone. "They have Vera Wang and all the big names." "Cool." Judy kept her smile in place, but wondered why she felt so negative, the Debbie Downer of bridesmaids.
She wasn't jealous that Mary was getting married, but she wished she had what Mary had, which wasn't the same thing.
It was more that Mary was moving forward, already a partner and soon a wife, while Judy got left behind, stuck. Judy didn't know how to get herself to the next level or what she was doing wrong. She'd always been on top, earned the best grades at school, and succeeded at work. But now she sensed she was blowing her lead at life. "You don't mind going to a third shop, do you? My mother will be there." "Great," Judy answered, meaning it, since she was closer to Mary's mother than her own.
The D'Annunzios were warm and loving South Philly Italians, so they'd practically adopted her, whereupon she'd permanently gained 10 pounds.
"The only problem is that I put a deposit on the veil at David's bridal, and I can't know if it will go with the dresses at Je T'aime. But if I lose the money, so what?"
"Right, it wasn't that expensive," Judy said, though she'd forgotten how much the veil cost. The answer was probably a fortune. she learned that everything associated with weddings costs the same, a fortune. Okay, now to the even greater news. More wedding updates? Judy braced herself to hear the latest drama with the DJ, the menu, the reception hall, the church, the invitation, or Mary's future mother-in-law, Elvira Rotunno, whom they called Elvirus. No, this is about work. Mary cleared her throat, brimming with renewed enthusiasm. Benny told me to tell you, since she's in trial prep, that she just got a major piece of business and she's assigning it to you. Girl, you'll be a partner in no time. Really? Judy said, but she felt caught up short. She and Mary never referred to the fact that Judy was still an associate, tacitly saving her face, as if she didn't know her own employment status. Great, what kind of case is it? It's not one case, it's 75, Mary beamed. Benny got them in as referral business from Singer Krenem in Manhattan, the big league. Why are there so many cases? Judy didn't get it. What are they about? That's the only bummer, Mary paused. They're asbestos cases. Defense side, representing a company called Bendaflex. Oh, no, Judy groaned in dismay. Nobody likes asbestos cases, even asbestos firms. Judy, these cases will generate millions in fees. But they'll take 2 or 3 years to try. Judy was trying to process the information, which struck her as lawyer hell. They won't take that long, because you don't have to try the whole case, just the damages phase. The liability was already decided. Even worse, Judy said aghast. Mass tort trials like asbestos were often bifurcated, which meant that the question of liability was separated from the question of damages. Evidently, their new client, Bendaflex, had lost on liability, so there were a slew of individual damage cases that had to be tried. Literally, the cases were damage control. How did Benny get these anyway? The cases were consolidated in the Southern District of New York, then remanded back to the various states for damages trials. She got all the Pennsylvania cases, and most of them came out of the Navy Yard. For real? Judy didn't think it could get worse. My father was a lieutenant commander in the Navy, remember? He used to tell me about how there was asbestos all over those ships and every shipyard in the country. Anything hot was insulated with asbestos, mainly pipes. Grinders would grind the old asbestos off, and pipe fitters blew the new asbestos on. Judy remembered her father's anger and guilt when he told her the stories, even though nobody knew that asbestos was deadly back then. These poor guys, they're standing in the hull of a ship, sweating their butts off in a snow globe of asbestos. No masks, no ventilation, no nothing. They're all dead now of mesothelioma. Johns Manville declared bankruptcy, and other companies like Bendaflex are fighting not to pay what they owe decades later, and I'm supposed to help? Is this why I became a lawyer? Mary's smile faded. I hear you, but we're lucky to get that much business in this economy. It's not worth it. The cases don't even present a legal question, only how much damages each plaintiff is owed. And since we represent Bendaflex, the answer has to be as little as possible. Judy flashed forward, disgusted. I'll have to argue down the value of a man's life? Probably in front of his widow and his children? Mary sighed. My argument will have to be that the plaintiff, who's dead, wasn't going to earn that much because, after all, he wasn't good enough to earn a promotion. And as far as pain and suffering, don't pay him for that because he died within a year, so he didn't suffer that long. Too bad he was only 43. Mary frowned, sympathetic. You don't have to try the cases yourself. Just supervise them. With the money that comes in, you can hire whoever you need. Still, Judy fought a rising tension in her chest. You wouldn't want to do it, would you? I couldn't even if I wanted to. Mary shook her head, her tone turning defensive. The cases came to Benny, and she assigned them to you. I can't countermand her as her partner. Judy felt a twinge that Mary was taking Benny's side, but she should have known it would happen someday. Mary and Benny were the sole partners of this all-woman firm, and nobody in her right mind opposed Benny Rosato. Benny was a world-class trial lawyer who'd grown the firm to national prominence as she hadn't reached the top by being a cream puff. On the contrary, the woman owned a coffee mug that read, "I can smell fear."